Well, a good Tuesday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving long weekend and enjoying the leftovers today for lunch, right? You got the turkey sandwiches on the hop. Maybe the gravy and the stuffing made its way. The little pumpkin pie as well. Jamie by himself today. I believe we'll just call Locker day-to-day with an upper body injury. That's how we're going to disclose that one with Locker. Maybe tomorrow, maybe later in the week. Who knows? I'm trying to be as vague as a football coach on where Locker is today. But let's get this started. Each and every day we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and let's begin with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Two more years.
It's awesome. You know, for my family and I to be able to stay here in Regina and represent this team, and, you know, it was such an easy, obviously, decision, right? We love it here. We love the community, and Rider Nation's been really good to us.
Yes, Corey Mace and general manager Jeremy O'Day did indeed sign contract extensions. It's announced today they are signed through the 2028 season. As Jeremy O'Day talks about why it just makes sense to link up with Corey Mace for the future.
I mean, it started with the conversation when we were interviewing head coaches for the job here, and started with, you know, just a conversation over the phone, and after the conversation you wanted to talk to him more, and then it led to a FaceTime Zoom call with him, and then the interview in person, and he's the exact same person from the first call.
So Jeremy O'Day, Corey Mace locked up through the 2028 season. Their contracts were to expire after next season, but of course back-to-back West Final appearances, including, we know, the Riders will be hosting that West Final because of the victory on Friday night against the Toronto Argonauts. This was a no-brainer for Craig Reynolds, the president and CEO, to keep these two running the Riders, especially with the promise of sustained success 10 years ago from Craig Reynolds when it came to the future of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Now, let's get to baseball. Yeah, Jays fans, we have to get to baseball. The Mariners' bats came alive yesterday.
Rodriguez hooks one in the air, down the line. If it's fair, it's got a chance, and it's gone. Shot to right center field. Varsho on the run. He's at the track. He's at the wall. It's gone. It's Polanco again. Fly to deep right field. Back goes Lucas at the wall. Goodbye.
Yeah, the Mariners with a 10-3 win in Game 2 yesterday. Game 1, 3-1 victory over the Blue Jays. Was Kevin Gausman pulled too soon? It's a resounding yes from Jays fans on that one, as he was dealing a three-hitter at the time when he got yanked, and it went from 1-1 to 2-1 real fast for the Seattle Mariners. Now, here's the history of it. Only three teams in the history of baseball in a seven-game series have lost the first two at home and have been able to come back and win that Game 7 series. So they are up against history when it comes to that. Jamie Campbell from Blue Jays Central is going to be up, of course, Game 3 tomorrow, travel day today to Seattle for the Mariners and the Blue Jays. As for the National League Championship Series, dude, take the pitch to the thigh.
Trina deals. Oh, he almost hit him. I'm sure Terang would love to tell his brain to just stand in there and wear one. Trina ready. Terang, a swing and a miss. And Blake Trina closes the door. The Brewers strand. The bases loaded.
Yeah, bases loaded. Bryce Terang at the dish. A hot one inside, and he jumped way back to dunk. No, just Take one for the team. Tie the game. Instead, Dodgers go up 1-0. Game two tonight at 6:08, with the Brewers trying to avoid the same fate as the Toronto Blue Jays are trying to avoid, the Toronto Blue Jays losing two to start a series. Meanwhile, doubleheader on Monday Night Football last night, and it ended with a walk-off win for Chicago.
Snap a bit high. Kick is good. And the Bears win it. Jake Moody, a hero tonight.
Yeah, Jake Moody, you might remember he started the season with the San Francisco 49ers. Didn't kick well there. They cut him because in the National Football League, you get a game or two bad, bye, we'll find the next guy. All of a sudden, Chicago needs a kicker. Okay, Jake, come over. Hopefully you work through your stuff. He did have one field goal blocked in that game. It was rainy. It was questionable, but he nailed it. Bears over the Commanders 25-24 in a battle of those two sophomore quarterbacks in Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. A late fumble by Daniels allowed the Bears to get the ball back and led to that game-winning field goal. In the first game up, the Buffalo Bills lose to the Atlanta Falcons. Josh Allen throws two interceptions. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, big nights for the Falcons in a 24-14 win over Buffalo. And wouldn't you know it, remember when the Bills and Eagles were the only two undefeated teams after week four, 4-0? They both lost two straight games. The best teams in the NFL, the top two teams with 5-1 records right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts are 5-1. And because they had a bye week, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are 4-1. And we'll try to go to 5-1 on Thursday night. And there's some big NHL news when it comes to, and it's not good news, out of Ottawa.
Chuck tries to get his hands up the last second to defend himself. Yossi with the push, and it's in that 5-foot area. He hits the boards hard. Goes right back at Roman Yossi, and then has some comments for Michael Bunting and Evangelista on the bench.
Yeah, Brady Tkachuk favoring his hand, tried to come back, didn't play. They say could be out to up to 4 weeks for the captain of the Ottawa Senators, as a big injury happened yesterday in the National Hockey League. Drew Remenda will have more on that when we drop the gloves with Drew at 4:05. Britton Gray will fill in for Locker on our Sunday school grades and our Rough Rider grades coming up a little bit later on. But directly ahead, it was the first weekend of the Green Zone Tic-Tac 20 contest. Did anybody win $100? We'll tell you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, when we left you on Friday, we announced the contestant for our first Green Zone Tic-Tac 20 Saturday in the National Hockey League. That contestant was Dale Gerhardt of Regina. And the jackpot, of course, always begins the NHL season with $100. And if a team scores, any team in any game in the NHL on a Saturday scores in the first 20 seconds of the first period, Dale would have won $100. But it was lame sauce this weekend. The quickest goal on Saturday, and there was, remember, 16 games, all 32 teams. The quickest goal was $1.50 into the game. So 1:50 in. That's nowhere close enough to win money for Dale. So that means the jackpot jumps another $100. It'll be $200 for this coming weekend's games in the National Hockey League. And so, as always, you can sign up at any time during the NHL season. If you forgot last week, that's okay. You can still sign up today, and maybe your name will be pulled from the hat on. We don't actually have a hat, by the way, although we should. It would be need to be a big hat. CJME.com, CKOM.com, that's where you can sign up, and maybe you will be playing this weekend for $200. And a reminder, last year, remember Marcel for the Green Zone Tic-Tac 20 contest? $1,700 was the jackpot when we finally got that first goal in the first 20 seconds of a Saturday game. That could be you by signing up today at CJME.com and CKOM.com. Britton Gray is going to be coming up. We're going to talk about the big news in Rider Nation today. Yes, Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day are staying right here in Saskatchewan. A two-year extension for the head coach and the general manager a couple of days after they clinch first place in the West Division and will host that West Final on November the 8th. Corey Mace talked about his time in Saskatchewan so far and what it's meant to find a new home.
The people of Saskatchewan have been nothing but plush to our family. Even, you know, yesterday, you know, my boy Chewy out there at his first, you know, hockey practice, and, you know, all the neighbors and stuff helping this guy. I know nothing about hockey and just getting us all geared up. And I mean, everybody's just been first class here, and it feels like an extended family, and that's big for us.
So Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day sign right here. Now, this is where my brain goes to immediately. So here was my reaction to today. I'll tell you, right here, right now, this is the first 30 seconds when I found out from Britton Gray they signed the extension. Corey Mace, Jeremy O'Day, signed an extension. First thought, no-brainer, duh, of course. Second thought, where are you at, Jeremy O'Day haters? Hello? Anybody home? For 2 years, all we had was they got to get rid of Jeremy O'Day. Enough with Jeremy O'Day. He can't find talent. He's no good. He's a bum. Get him out of town. Where are you? And where have you been all season? They're 12-4. And what did Daryl and I tell you? Every general manager should get the opportunity to hire his second coach. And Jeremy O'Day was linked to Craig Dickinson. There was no other person he could have hired because Chris Jones, if you remember, sorry to go back to history, Chris Jones bolted in January to the Cleveland Browns, signed all his coaches to an extension a week before he bolted. So Jeremy O'Day, he only had Craig Dickinson to hire. It's not like he could have a thorough search for the next head coach. And they went to the West Final that first year. Then they went back to a West Final. It went, okay, things are going well. And then it went off the rails in 2022 and 2023. And what did Daryl and I say? Maybe it was the coach and not the general manager, because we saw Roland Milligan coming in. We saw so many talented receivers coming in. His draft was great. He hires Corey Mace. The most important job of a general manager is to hire the head coach. And do you think he hit a home run? I think he hit a home run. So give credit to Jeremy O'Day and the work he has done. He does it quietly. Not a lot of fanfare. Has had a lot more hate than anything else. But he deserves the two-year extension. Corey Mace deserves the two-year extension. And then my next thought was, who's their quarterback going to be next year? Because they don't have one signed for 2026. Jamie with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. As I mentioned off the top of the show, we're just calling it day-to-day upper body injury for old Locker, who's not with us for the ride today here on the Green Zone. But that doesn't mean you'll be without your grades, ladies and gentlemen. Britton Gray will be filling in for Locker on the Rider grades and the NFL Sunday School grades right here on the Green Zone. And Britton Gray joins me now for a Rider update.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Britton Gray, I thought your Rider guest yesterday was phenomenal. They did a bang-up job covering the Riders for you while you covered on Thanksgiving Monday.
I mean, he did all right. Didn't get the injury update from Corey Mace on Keyshawn Johnson, so we can... I had to ask that question today.
Yeah, and I heard what Corey's reaction was when you asked the question. I left the scrum yesterday, literally, because it was me that filled in for the Riders, if that wasn't clear enough. As we left the scrum, right when the mics turned off, I said, Corey, I'll let Britton ask you all the injury questions tomorrow. He got a good kick out of that, by the way. So what did you find out from Corey Mace before we get into his 2-year extension with the football team?
Not a whole lot, but that's what Corey Mace does. But you have to ask the question about just what's going on. It was more of Keyshawn Johnson and Tommy Stevens. I lumped them two together as, do you expect to see them back at some point this year? And it sounds like they have optimism they will, but it wasn't necessarily a glowing endorsement because he doesn't want to, with injuries, you never know. There could be setbacks, but the belief is that both will be back at some point.
Yeah, they've both been out there. Like Tommy Stevens has been out there a little bit, but yesterday Keyshawn Johnson was walking around, right? He didn't have crutches or anything.
Where was that update when I asked you yesterday, James?
I told you that, or you didn't ask me. I'm not sure what it was. One or the other, but it looked positive, anyways, for the injury. But Corey Mace will have to be dealing with Britton Gray's injury questions for at least 3 more years, as he signed a 2-year extension today, as did General Manager Jeremy O'Day. What's your reaction when the news came down earlier?
It just makes a ton of sense with the way this team has kind of turned around the culture even. Corey Mace has come in, and this team is a Corey Mace team in just year 2 under them. They're winning. It just all makes a lot of sense. When we talk about sustained success, the Riders as a franchise don't have a lot of sustained success when you look throughout things. It's only the 9th time they finished first in the CFL West Division. There's only the 4 Grey Cups. They want to keep people in place here. And people want to stay here in Saskatchewan and continue to build. I think that's a big thing, that both these guys, especially the work Jeremy O'Day has done, rather than look around, they want to be in Saskatchewan. Corey Mace talked about how the community is like another family to him at this point with him and his family here. So a lot of sense, and it's all good right now. And I think that they can continue this on because it just feels like the culture now is where they want it to be.
What about their boss? On the importance it was for Craig Reynolds to make sure that these two are in place after what we've seen, as now we've seen them work together for 2 years, and it looks like it's working quite well.
It's very important they do this. I think you alluded to the fact a decade ago, Craig Reynolds said sustained success. That's what they want. It's been some bumpy roads here. With Chris Jones leaving, then the way that the Craig Dickinson era kind of came to an end. So it's big for him in terms of just there was a stink around this franchise the last 2 seasons here. Fans were over it. They didn't want to see it anymore when Craig Dickinson was here. They wanted Jeremy O'Day gone. They wanted Craig Reynolds gone. People weren't going to games. Now that you've seen 2 years, you can tell it's shifted here in Saskatchewan. A lot more people are, once again, intrigued by the Riders. They're not selling out, but they are going to more games. They had a couple sellouts this season. Just continue to build. You can't have constant change if you want to put forward a good product in sports, and that's why it was important for Craig Reynolds to get this done.
Yeah, the stability of this organization is vital. And Jeremy O'Day has knocked it out of the park with his... He's only really been able to go on a full coaching search once in his career. I mentioned it earlier. Chris Jones signed all his coaches to extensions, then a week later left to the Cleveland Browns. They bring up Jeremy O'Day as the general manager with all those guys. He couldn't fire them all. There was like, it was all these coaches' caps things were coming into place. So. And it was January. You're well into it. You're a couple of weeks away from free agency. So he took the guy on the coaching staff that it made the most sense, and they did have a little bit of a success. But the hire of Corey Mace might be Jeremy O'Day's finest work thus far on the work he's done. Now, his Canadian drafts have also been exceptional when you look at the amount of Canadian talent. But there is one more thing he needs to do. As I said earlier, who's their quarterback. The success of these two, Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace, will be who is going to be the quarterback in 2027 and 2028 when these extensions kick in, because I'm going to assume it's not going to be Trevor Harris. Maybe in 2026, but I'm not sure about 7 and 8 when it comes to the next 2 years of those deals. We'll wait and see what happens next, Britton.
Yeah, we will. I mean, you never know. Tom Brady played till 45, right? So it's possible Trevor Harris could be here till 2030, I think.
It is possible. But let's be in reality. Even Trevor has talked about, you know, reflecting on games, especially this season. It was the Labor Day going, man, I'm not sure how many of these types of games I have left. He's contemplating how long it is right now. So I'm having a hard time seeing 27 and 28 as Trevor Harris as the quarterback of the Rough Riders.
Yeah, and that's why this week and maybe next week as well is a big opportunity for Jake Mayer to show what he can still do. And you've mentioned it before. Jack Cohn, I think, is someone this team really likes and wants to continue to see develop. Usually a quarterback, when you bring them to the CFL, year 3 and 4 is where you can really start them, where they have been around, they know everything, they get the speed of it, and they really learn the CFL game. I think the succession plan is there. I just am not sure. There's a lot of question marks because we haven't seen it. But no one had seen Davis Alexander.
Davis Alexander. The year 3 was last year.
Yeah.
That was his third year last year when he finally got that opportunity. He hasn't lost a game as a starter. He's 10-0 as a starter. Unfortunately, injuries have meant he hasn't started a lot. I want to see Jack Cohn. I really do in the final 2 weeks of the season at some point. And considerable time with Jack Cohn, too. Although, I'm not sure you're going to see it. I imagine they'll just get Jake Mayer as ready as possible because he will be next man up if something goes awry in that West Final with Trevor Harris. Now, but there's a quick rider update. What do you think about the extension of Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace? Let us know. 1-877-332-8255. But right now, Britton's filling in for Locker on the grades.
Jamie and Locker are about to take you to school.
Bueller.
They've got their red pens and filling the margin.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Here are their top grades.
You mean I passed?
And their failing grades.
You get nothing. You lose.
It's time for the Green Zone Report Card.
Each and every week, we look back at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and of course, that's Friday night, 27-19 win over the Toronto Argonauts, and bring you the top grades and the failing grades. And Britton, just as a reminder on how this works, I know it's been a minute since you've done grades here on the Green Zone. We start with the failing grades and then the top grades. So I'm going to start with my failing grade. My failing grade goes to the first 2 minutes and 30 seconds of the third quarter. In real time, it was well over 10 minutes. And remember the commissioner talking about the real time of that late drive was 11 minutes and it took forever. It happens not only in the final 3 minutes. That was atrocious. It was Daryl and I were looking at each other going, are we going to be on the air at midnight tonight for the post-game show? So I took the average time, real time of that. First 2.5 minutes of the third quarter and went how long the game would have been if it was at that pace. And it was over 3.5 hours. That's how slow that was. There was two challenges that seemed to take forever to announce that they were being challenged, not only to be challenged. Then there was the second one, which felt like forever until they actually announced that they were reviewing the play and then took forever to actually decide what happened on that play. And then throughout the game, all the officiating meetings and conversations. Speed it up, please. There's one thing that I think I tweeted it out. If you want to fix something, commish, there you have it. Tell your officials to speed it up. We don't have all day. That's my failing grade. Britton, what's your failing grade?
The exact same thing, because it was terrible. I watched the games closely and multiple points. I'm like, well, what's going on? What have I missed that we're just sitting here? Is someone hurt? Like, what is taking so long to get through the next play? And as you mentioned, there's no communication. They're just out there talking, or what's the discussion? 5 minutes later, there's a challenge for no yards.
Well, I forgot about the between the third and fourth quarter. They moved the ball down the field, and then they like they didn't go all the way back down, but there was some other officiating conversation to have. It's just like,
if someone like me who covers the league, knows the rules, and is paying attention is having issues following what the heck's going on, the casual fan also has no idea what's happening.
There's our failing grade. Hurry it up, officials in Replay Center. My top grade goes to Sam Amelis.
Harris looking to throw again over the middle. Has a man. Midfield, a little bit of room to run. And Amelis will take it down inside the 20. Down the field, lays it out there. And is it held on to? Amelis pointing, saying, I had it. And they'll say, we agree with you. Down the field, hold in. Oh, are you kidding me, Amelis? Looked even better in slow-mo.
Yeah, Sam Amelis. Two amazing catches, one big play. He was so good. He made it on You Got Mossed on Sunday Countdown yesterday, or on Sunday in the National Football League, as they highlighted his catch over the back of the defender. What a play by Sam Amelis.
It's too bad they didn't have access to the audio where I asked Sam Amelis after the game, is that the definition of You Got Mossed, what you did to the guy?
It was, and he did, and he was on You Got Mossed on Sunday. Britton, who gets your top grade?
Kicker Brett Lawther.
Lawther back in the lineup, sneaks one through the upright. This one is up, and he's 2 for 2, and he makes no mistake, 4 for 4, 5 for 5 for the veteran kicker.
I've been critical of Brett Lawther. We all have. For him to come out, bounce back, give that sort of performance, great to see, and I think he did it with a back injury still. He's still dealing with something.
He's not kicking this week. It doesn't look like it. Michael Hughes. But, yes, I think we all agree. 5 for 5, Brett Lawther was nice to see for the Rough Riders kicker.
Britton, well done. Come back with some grades for the Sunday school in a little bit on the NFL.
Why do I have homework at this job all of a sudden?
It's not homework. You're the teacher. It's not homework. Coming up next here on the Green Zone. We have a bunch of Major League Baseball moments to remember. October the 14th has some of the most memorable plays in baseball history. Those are coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
It's up.
And after 22 years, Raymond Moss!
Thomas, me, I'll be back in town.
On this day in baseball playoff history, there's a few Blue Jay moments, but one of the most infamous moments in baseball playoff history happened October the 14th, 2003.
Round ball, the hole is short. In the air, right field. Sosa the catch. The throw will come to the plate, and the Marlins have taken a 4-3 lead.
Yes, the Marlins come back to beat the Chicago Cubs in Game 6. Remember what happened just before that comeback?
Again in the air, down the left field line. A low reaching into the stands and couldn't get it. He's livid with a fan.
Yes, Steve Bartman interferes with Moses Alou, which allows the Marlins to continue their comeback against the Cubs in 2003. As for the Blue Jays moments on this day, well, let's take you back to 92.
High fly ball toward the line and left, calling for it is Maldonado, and the Blue Jays have finally won the pennant.
Yes, for the first time, the Toronto Blue Jays win the AL and book their ticket to their first World Series appearance in 1992. And happy 10th anniversary, Jose Bautista. Jose Jose Bautista. Yeah, his bat flip to end all bat flips happened in the seventh inning on October the 14th in Game 5 as they beat the Texas Rangers to move on to the American League Championship Series.